Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
Oh. And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Connect pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Live on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Awesome to be with you on Wednesday night here on KMOX. We got a lot of ground to cover over the next couple of hours. A little football, the stupidity of the hiring and firing season that is the National Football League season we're in right now. And the playoffs are coming, too. Probably talk a little playoff football. The baseball lockout is continuing, but they're going to talk tomorrow. So excited about that. I got my buddy Chris Ranji in for the next couple of hours with me. Ranj, I know you're very excited about all the sports and stuff. But most importantly, I just want to know, how's it going today, Ben? How you doing?
Oh, my God, I'm doing great. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm swell. That's a good word, swell. You know, makes you feel like you're a really polite teenager from the 1950s. I'm swell.
I think you probably were. If you would have been alive in the 50s, I think you'd have been a really swell guy.
No, I'm probably not. I like to swear too much.
Well, now you do.
Well, that's true. If I grow up in that environment, maybe not, right?
Right. Yeah, back then it was a totally different, you know, set of circumstances. So you know,
it makes me laugh because I was texting with my, this brings me up. I was texting with my dad the other day and I was driving home. Right. So I'm doing the voice to text at a stoplight and I'm still going. I start to go and I'm finishing up the thing and I'm about to send the text and I'm talking about my dad about something. And then my text goes something like this. It goes, I'm not sure. He was asking me about a friend, right? A friend of mine, and said, because obviously I just turned 50. He's asking, you know, how old is your friend? And I'm like, I'm not sure, but I think he's turning 50 this year. We were pretty close in age, if I remember right. And then it was blankety blank, blankety blank, blank, blank. What the hell are you doing? Because I got cut off driving down the road. Uh-huh. And my dad's response was, wow, nice potty mouth. And I'm like, learn from the best, Dad.
When I was in college, I think I was a senior or something, and I was staying up there for the summer, okay? So there weren't a whole lot of people around because it was summertime. Everybody goes home, but I stayed. And I blew a tire, and it was the first time I had ever gotten...
Now, you're saying that literally, right? We're not talking about some other accidental mishap. You blew a tire.
I was driving, I think, through a parking lot that
okay,
was
so this is a real tire. I mean, like...
Yeah. Yeah, and I picked up something, a nail, a shard of glass. I don't know. I ran over a person. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I got a flat, and so I called my mom or my dad. I don't know. I called home, and I left a message because I didn't know what to do because I had never gotten a flat. And I don't...
You changed the tire, man.
Well, yeah, but I didn't have one with me. And I can't remember. Oh, I did. You know what? I did have a spare, and I drove it to a place, and I got it done.
Okay.
So... My parents just said, hey, let us know what happens. And so when I called back, they were gone. And so I left a voice message, you know, on the answering machine. And so it was a tirade. And I think it was like, I mean, it was a lot of F-bombs. Like, it was this bleeping amount for a tire. Can you believe they charged me bleeping bleep for a bleeping tire? And so they played it for my grandfather. They're like, you got to hear this. And apparently my grandpa listened to the entire message and said, "Oh, I'm so proud." So I got it from grandpa.
Yeah.
I got all of that from my grandfather. Thank you. Dooley, rest in peace.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. I got there are like so many places that I want to start today. Like I want to talk about the owners and players getting together tomorrow for the first time in 40 plus days. I do want to talk about the nonsense that is the NFL season, because you know this is the week, Ron. You know, like in these first few days of the week, it's all about people getting fired, right?
Right.
You know, owners doing mea culpa press conferences, and I saw one today from Jim Irsay, and he's not the only one. We're going to talk about the Bears and the Giants too. You know, John Mara's like, "This is the most embarrassed I've ever been." And like, yeah, you know, your team's been pretty embarrassing for a long time. But Jim Irsay said today that, listen, the buck stops with me. And no, it doesn't. The buck never stops with the owner. They can't get fired. They never, ever, ever, ever pay for the price of being a crappy owner. And what do you know about all of these teams that keep going through this cycle of hiring and firing and firing and hiring? It's the same idiot owners. I mean, again, I'm not bitter or anything as a Lions fan. We've been doing this for 50 years now. Like every 3 years, you've got a new coach and a new GM because the idiot owners, the Ford family, don't know what they're doing. I hate that so much when you get the, you know, the buck stops with me. You know, that's a real like pound your chest, tough guy moment. But it doesn't mean anything because nobody can hold you accountable to anything. You own the damn team.
There was a time, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, when you heard an athlete or a coach or a general manager of a team take ownership of failure and say, you know what, that's on me. I have to get better. There was a time 15, 20
years
ago.
But what does that even mean? I mean, it just means I get to do this all over again. So,
well, that's what I'm saying. There used to be a time when you heard somebody say that you would go, you know what? That's refreshing. Thank you for taking ownership of what you've done and the failures. But we're like past that now. You know, I think sports fans and really just people in general are savvy enough that when a person in control of something important or not important, but a person in control takes ownership of screwing something up, we are past the point where that's good enough. We're past the point where saying, yep, hey, my bad. That's on me. Sorry about that.
At some point, you have to change it. You can't just say,
right,
I know it's broken. You actually have to fix it somehow.
That is not accountability. It's not accountability to say, I did that. I screwed up. I'm sorry. Accountability is there's repercussion for it. There's a change that's made. There's something happens as a response to make sure it doesn't happen again. So to say, well, hey, my bad, y'all, I'll fix that. Well, okay, that's not good enough. You have to actually fix it. There has to be a fixing.
Yeah. I get it, man. You can't
fire the owner.
You can't fire the owner. You can't take the team away from them without really, really good cause. And that would normally be something that has nothing to do with football operations, right? I mean, you'd have to be an absolute embarrassment to the league. I mean, like the Donald Sterling thing with the Clippers. But that's just don't talk. Like, really, owners shouldn't talk unless they know something about the sport. And part of the problem is so many of these owners don't know anything other than the fact that they were born with the right last name. That's what they know.
That
right?
Is, yes.
That's the Ford family. That's the McCaskey/Hallis family. Yep. That's the Mara family. That's, Jim Irsay, who got it from his dad. I mean, like, look, you're one of the winners in the Lucky Sperm Club. Just accept that and stop talking. Just get out of the way.
Well, I agree with you, but then I also don't, because every now and then I want to have my feelings about owners, whoever we're talking about, I want to have those ideas confirmed to me. So when George McCaskey...
Is this person really as big an idiot as we think?
Yes,
like,
so when George McCaskey, and I listened to all, I think it was an hour and 15 minutes, close to an hour and a half of a press conference on Monday when they fired Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. I listened to the whole thing and I wasn't even, I'm not kidding you, Kevin. I wasn't even 35 seconds into the press conference with his prepared statement, his prepared opening statement, and I knew this guy is a bumbling doofus. He's a doofus.
Yeah.
Because you know what he did, and I know we're going to get into it specifically because there was one moment in that press conference that's actually a holdover moment from last week I wanted to bring up with you to see if you had heard this story, and then it kind of came to a head on Monday. It's ridiculous. But he started his press conference by invoking the name Jeff Dickerson, who we talked about, Jeff.
Yeah,
passed away, a reporter, long time NFL reporter, 44 years old, died from colon cancer a couple of weeks ago. His wife had died 2 years prior from a different kind of cancer and left their only son, an 11-year-old, without parents. And it's a horrible, horrible situation. It's unimaginable. And McCaskey started his press conference with Jeff Dickerson. And actually, we probably should play this because it is completely absurd. He said, you know, talking about Parker Dickerson, the son who's 11 years old, and, you know, how sad it is. Also, like 11 years old is Coach Matt Nagy's son.
Yeah.
Who had to hear the crowd chant "Fire Nagy" at a youth football game. Like, what kind of transition is that? One thing has nothing to do with the other. It is completely tone deaf.
Well, that's like a person that doesn't live in the real world, right? That's a person that lives in their own little sheltered world. They're super wealthy. They don't actually interact with normal human beings. And they don't understand, like, that doesn't make
outrageous.
Any sense. Yes, it doesn't make any sense,
It is completely outrageous.
And number two, it's insulting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, how are you going to make, what kind of segue is that? You dingus. What are you doing?
So let's do this. We've got the audio. We're going to play. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back on and play that. And I want to continue this conversation because there are 7 jobs open in the NFL right now. And some of these are supposedly classic franchises, right? Like glorious franchises, the Bears and the Giants. And those are arguably 2 of the worst jobs in the entire National Football League. Like, how do you turn jobs in New York and Chicago into amongst the worst in a professional sports league? We'll hit on that, and we got a bunch of other things we're going to hit on.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Today as well, Chris Ranji, Kevin Wheeler with you here on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner!
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Good to be back with you here on Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler, got my buddy Chris Ranji hanging out for another couple of hours. And again, we're doing this tomorrow and Friday as well. I don't know. Again, Ranji, I don't know who twisted your arm, but I'm glad they did because at least we get to hang and, you know, talk about sports and stuff.
I wasn't busy, Kevin.
Oh, that's true. But still,
I had nothing
it's
to
nice.
Do.
It's nice that you're willing to, you know, join in, make a fun once in a while.
Give me 1 an hour, and I'll feel pretty good about it. Like if I say something mildly entertaining or funny once an hour, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, that's a good budget. That's a good budget.
Yeah, that's a great budget. Hey, what's your comedy budget? 1 an hour.
1 an hour, that's baby. It. That's all I got.
I cannot afford any more than that, I tell you.
Set lower expectations and you'll exceed them, right? Isn't that somebody's philosophy? That sounds like that sounds like the philosophy of certain NFL owners.
Well,
set the expectations low, and then when we win 3 games, everybody's going to be like, woo!
I think that's what ends up happening, but I don't think it's intentional.
No.
Like, I honestly believe it is. I believe NFL owners, down the line, all of them truly believe that they are doing the right thing and that they expect to win every year. I honestly believe they mostly believe that. But for the rest of us, we can tell. It's for us to not have the expectations. And see, this is when I made the argument last week that you did not agree with. But my unpopular St. Louis sports opinion is that people in St. Louis should just be glad there's no team anymore, because there isn't a team in town to make you sad anymore.
I mean, now that's, I don't know. That's like, you better glad I never had a girlfriend, because then I never got broken up with. I mean, like, no,
see?
It's not a good trade.
There you go.
Better to have there loved and lost, Ronj, than to have never loved at all.
I don't know, man, because that I'm sure that 15 years, 13 to 15 years you have with your dog is great until it dies.
Yeah, but then
you wish you hadn't had that dog. One. I guess you just replace dogs. Like,
well, I mean, it's not like that. I mean, you know, well, you do get more. Yeah, it doesn't just end.
So this is my philosophy on dogs. If you're going to have one, you have two at all times, okay, and you stagger them. So, like, you get a dog, and then about 7 years into that dog's life, you get another one, because then the first dog's going to die, but then you'll still have that second dog, and then you wait a little bit of time, and then you get another dog. So you constantly have at least one dog to take the sadness away.
That is such a horrible, flawed argument.
How? Because,
well, I mean, first of all, they're better off when they're closer in age, because then they have similar personalities and habits and energy levels and all that. So that when they're both young, they can play together. They occupy each other. And then when they're both older, they don't want to be bugged by the other younger one. They're like, kid, go lay down. I'm tired of you.
See, that's the most
Have you ever done this? Have you ever done this?
No, I'm just looking from the outside.
Yeah, you're just making crap up. I have done this now for the last 30 years of having and raising dogs, and then the staggering thing doesn't really help. It doesn't make any difference.
There's no way, because Kevin, think about it. There's nothing more adorable than the young dog bothering the old dog and the old dog not wanting to play. That's fun.
Yeah, but that's not good for the young dog. The young dog needs to play. And then guess what's going to happen? Then you have to do it.
Yeah, well, then why have a dog if you're not going to play with the dog?
Well, no, it's one thing. You do that, but you don't want to be the only source of entertainment for that pup, man. We did that with our first dog that we ever got, right? Not long after college, right before our kid was born. And the dog is the best dog in the world, but holy crap, did that dog just like sit there and stare at you and bark. And just sit there and stare at you and bark unless you were nonstop playing. Then we got another dog, and oh my God, they're pretty close to the same age. They chase each other around. And then we got a third dog that are all pretty close to the same age. And yeah, look, it kind of sucked when they all died within like 2 or 3 years of each other.
See?
But that's when you start integrating the other dogs, right? We integrated the next pack, if you will.
Okay.
You don't have to stagger anything.
Then if you don't want to do that, which is the right way to do it, then you get 4 dogs so that you can have 2 young dogs to play with each other and then 2 old dogs not.
Roger,
do you
own the Bears? Because you sound exactly like some of these NFL owners that don't know what the hell they're doing. Like, I don't know. Why did you hire?
I don't know.
Why did you hire that guy? Well, you know, I like the way that he buttoned his shirt all the way up to the top when he was doing the interview. He had the top button buttoned, and I really thought that made him look like he was.
Nobody likes that, Kevin.
Well, but the weird owners do.
Yeah, maybe some.
Because that means, because again, everybody knows that if you're doing that, sorry if you do that, but I mean, only psychos do that. Where you button it all the way up without a tie on, you just like all the way to the top. I know it's kind of a trendy thing for some fashionable people to do that now. It's dumb.
I worked with a guy who does that regularly.
Yeah.
And always has.
And I know there are NBA guys that do it too, right? You know, the guys that are all, you know, dressed up for their press conferences. And of course, that makes sense too, right? Let's all get really dressed up to walk into the stadium and then answer sports questions.
Well, I wouldn't say this guy is cool.
Oh, well, you know.
I mean, NBA players walking into an arena, like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Those guys are cool. And they have their really personal stylist. That get them ready for it.
Yeah.
Just that walk, the camera walk, the walk from the tunnel to the locker room, and they got the TNT cameras down there waiting for them to walk in. It's the coolest walk in sports.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
They have one outfit they wear, and they never wear it again.
I shouldn't even criticize because I don't watch any of that pregame stuff. Like, when the game starts, that's when I tune in. So I don't pay attention.
Don't you want to see what the young billionaires are wearing?
No. And I don't, I mean, like, I don't say it as a negative. I just don't care.
Okay.
I mostly just tease because that's what you do, right? When you're a sports person, you just tease every once in a while. All right. So back to our NFL topic, because since you're wrong about the dog thing.
I don't think that I am.
Well, I mean, you know, have dogs first, then talk to me.
Too much work.
This is just like the person that doesn't have any kids advising you on how to raise your kids. Like,
oh, I can absolutely tell you how to raise your kids.
Yeah, don't do that
just
either.
Just let me know.
I can't count the number of times, like, I would never let my baby watch TV. Guess what? You will.
Oh.
You will.
Because
you're going to need that quiet for like 20 minutes.
Yes.
You're going to do it.
Hey, if I ever have kids, I'm hooking them straight up to the iPad.
You're going to put it right there in their bassinet when they're babies.
Oh, no. I'm having it like surgically installed.
Oh, that's
like cruel. It's going to be like a... They're going to have like a power supply, you know. Like,
you're just going to strap a virtual reality headset to them right out of the gate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're weird.
I think it'll work out.
Yeah, you're weird. all right, so we started off talking about this week, right? Monday of this week is always known as Black Monday. It's where owners admit their mistakes, but without ever taking any real responsibility or suffering any real consequences as a result of that. And then they just start all over and keep making those same mistakes over and over again until once every 30 years or so, they hit the lottery and they end up with somebody that's pretty good, either running the front office or, somebody running the coaching staff. But it's amazing to me, Ranj, and I know we were talking about the Bears before the break. It's the same thing with the Giants. Obviously, you know, the jobs that are open now, it's funny that, you know, I've seen these lists of which of these jobs is the best job, right? Who does a great job? You know, which one would you want the most? And, you know, like, these two franchises that should be iconic franchises were ranked in the bottom, right? New York and Chicago. Those should be the top. But they're right there with Jacksonville as the worst places to be, which is sad.
Well, who is ranking them? Is this... As far as you're concerned?
Well, no, I've seen multiple stories kind of ranking them. I mean, it's not like one person did it. It's like a lot of the NFL people do that at this time of year. Like, which of these jobs are the better ones? And I do think it's an interesting exercise because you would think, you know, being in the big market, you would think the history of those franchises, you're like, that's a really attractive place to be. And then you're like, maybe it's not.
Well, here's what I'll say, and this is not my fandom saying this. This is for real. I think that the Giants and the Bears are not on the same plane here, and there's one reason for it. Yeah, they're not on the same playing field as far as which job is more attractive for both a general manager and a coach. And the reason I say it, and there's one, it's the quarterback. It's Justin Fields. The fact the Bears have Justin Fields, and there are some scouts around the NFL who believe they have a decent young core they can build around, and I guess that remains to be seen, especially when they don't have, you know, first round picks anytime soon.
Kind of a problem.
But the fact you have Fields, Daniel Jones is not that guy in New York.
No.
I mean, he might be okay. He might end up being okay, but he does not have superstar potential. And I'm not saying Fields will become a star, but I can't imagine there's a coach out there that wouldn't look at that situation, knowing how ridiculous the ownership has been, and, you know, the failures they've had. I can't imagine that somebody from the outside doesn't look at that situation and go, I want to go there to help turn that guy into a franchise quarterback because I think he can be. So I think it's all about the quarterback. And then you can be the guy or the person who turns around to the Chicago Bears. And that, I think, is you can be Theo Epstein. You can be Joe Madden. You know, you can I believe for a lot of people who are in this competitive business, there's that feeling of not necessarily landing in a soft spot, but landing in a place where you can be responsible for the turnaround and you can be responsible for helping that franchise win a Super Bowl. I think that is attractive. Now, if they had Mitch Trubisky still as their starting quarterback, I don't think you're having a lot of coaches want to come in with no end in sight, you know, no solution in sight for the quarterback. I think it's all about Fields, and that's why I think it's one of the top two attractive jobs.
We're going to fight about this. We did a bunch of shows last week. We didn't fight about anything, but we're going to fight about this coming up next.
We can fight about this.
I've got direct proof that shows that it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. That the owner, the ownership and whoever is hired to run the personnel department is more important than who that person is at quarterback. I got direct proof. And I'm going to give
it. I can't wait to hear it.
And I'm going to give it to you when we come back. Chris Ranji's joining me. Kevin Wheeler with you here on KMOX. Wednesday night on Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler with you here. My buddy Chris Ranji with me for the entire show. And we'll do this again tomorrow and Friday as well. But now, we got along pretty nicely the last couple of weeks, Ranj. When we filled in for Charlie Brennan together, we did some Sports Open Lines last week. I don't think we had anything to fight about, but we're going to fight right now about this thing that, you know, because you have old Justin Fields there, you've got something that would be a real draw for somebody that wants to be in Chicago. And I like Fields, by the way. This is not a knock on him. But my argument against having the quarterback that you'd like to build around, as opposed to having the right organization to be a part of, is basically Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford. Those guys are legit. They've always been legit star quarterbacks ever since they both got their opportunities. Deshaun Watson, and he didn't play this year, but the year before, they went 4-12. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the game. They went 4-12 because they had horrible organizational structure. They made stupid trades. They traded away first-round draft picks. The front office was, of course, a mess because the head coach was the front office, and that's a terrible idea. And then with Matthew Stafford, that's a legit first overall draft pick. Any coach that could have gone to Detroit over the last 8, 9, 10 years before they traded him this past offseason would have had one of the best, most talented passers in the NFL, and it didn't make a damn bit of difference. I don't think the quarterback is the biggest selling point. I think organizational structure, an ownership that shows they know how to hire people and put them in the right positions and then let them do their work would be way more attractive than just having a guy who happens to be a very talented guy behind under center.
And I hear what you are saying, but you are completely wrong, and here's why. It's not even about whether or not it's going to work out. It's about the prospect of it being able to work out, because the single hardest position to fill in sports and fill it, you know, competently at least, is the quarterback in the NFL. It's the hardest thing to get. So if a franchise has that quarterback in place, or you believe that young quarterback is there, I think that's at least 50% of the battle. Now, what's happening in Chicago or any of these organizations where a general manager opening is coming up is that person gets to help define what the organizational structure is like and what the atmosphere is like and how business is run. Because, I mean, it's very possible if the Bears, for example, do this right, they can tell that person they have complete autonomy. Like, they're going to get to do anything on the football side they want to do, which includes hiring the coach. So I think it starts with the general manager. And I think a lot of GMs, even though they're not going to have a first-round pick next year, I think a lot of GMs would like to be in this starting position with that quarterback who can be turned into, and you keep using the word star, but there's not really a better word. He has that potential, and not every young quarterback in the league does. So it doesn't mean it's going to work out, but I think the prospect of getting to come in and do something with that, and if the team does it right, you know, if George McCaskey and Ted Phillips and they make the right call, they'll allow that general manager the opportunity to be in complete, have complete autonomy.
How's that worked out the last 10, 15 years?
Well, it's different now because they have the quarterback. That's why I think it matters a ton.
I'm not saying it doesn't matter. And I'm saying, you know, look, these are different positions that we're talking about. I'm talking about the head coach. And the front office guy, sure, because then job number one on your list is now off your list. You have a quarterback. But,
right.
You know, for those guys, they're going to be the ones that look at it and say, well, I'm the one responsible for putting all of this together. If I'm the head coaching candidate and I'm looking around going, where would I rather be? Would I rather be the team that has the quarterback and a total unknown in the front office, or a more stable front office that has a more stable roster that might not have, you know, a big upside at quarterback, but you have a player there like Cousins in Minnesota or Tua Tagovailoa down in Miami, where especially in Miami, you have a much better roster to build with as opposed to just the quarterback who might be exciting, who I like, by the way. I mean, I share the optimism on Fields, but I mean, as a head, I think we're talking different languages here, because, again, as a front office guy, I probably agree with you. For a head coach, I want the stability. You know, look, I mean, Mac Jones is not Tom Brady, but the Patriots are still in the playoffs. They're still stable because they have the right people calling the shots.
Well, I guess this equation changes if the Bears make a call on a general manager that a head coach can trust. And I don't even know what order they're going to do this in. There's a possibility.
Oh, they will totally do the coach first.
They get a coach first.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that shouldn't be it. You should get your general manager first, because that person should have a say in who the head coach is. And if you make the right hire, a guy or somebody who is respected in the NFL among people who know, you know, people coaching candidates, if they respect that general manager, they're going to take that job. I think I think you're onto something when it comes to the coach specifically, but it depends on what the general manager is going to be. But I think that has to be ironed out first. Still, though, if I'm a head coach, I could absolutely see the Bears being attractive just by virtue of Fields being there, because it's job one, and you have job one figured out. You can win if you're a good coach, if you have a good quarterback in place. And I'm not saying that Fields is going to be like Aaron Rodgers, who single-handedly wins games, but I'm saying that it's possible that he could become somebody who's like that. And I think that would be attractive to a coach.
Right. But the coach is going to get fired if the rest of the team's not good enough.
Well,
right.
I don't know about the Bears, though.
I bring you the Lions situation, where they've had Matthew Stafford forever, who's a top-end talent, and they just keep on. Again, I know they traded him, but they just for years kept hiring and firing and cycling through, and it's never good enough, even though you have that premium position taken care
right.
of.
Right. Well, the difference is, before we go to break, John Mara has fired a guy after two seasons for the last three go-arounds. The Bears are notoriously patient. So that's another thing to consider.
Gave Nagy 3 years, right?
Well, after, no, he gave him four.
Oh, did he get
after
four?
He had that great year. Then he went 8, and it was all defense. He went 8-8, 8-8, and then this year, 6-11. So an extra game, and he won two fewer.
Whoops.
So I think it's, they were very patient with him. And if honestly, if they don't have Fields and there's somebody else, he might get another year. I wouldn't be surprised if they had kept him around.
All right, so we're going to do a quick hit on another NFL topic after this. After the top of the hour news, we're going to change topics entirely and move on from the world of football. Hang tight. We're going to talk about ratings really quick up next. And a certain league, even though everybody was supposedly quitting this league from a television perspective, certain league is still dominating television. It's interesting how that works. Tell you about it next on KMOX.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arnold.
Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, Chris Ronji, Kevin Wheeler with you here on Sports Open Line. Quick hitter here before we get to the top of the hour, Ronji. I know we spent a lot of time, I'm sure you did, I know I have, for about the last, 5 years, people with their various opinions about NFL ratings and, you know, why primetime games go up and down in given years. And I'll tell you what the why is. In 2016 and 2020, the primetime NFL ratings went down during presidential elections because more people were watching election coverage than watching meaningless football games. But now that there is no presidential election, people are back to more normal things. And, of course, the NFL ratings are once again back to where they have been, where they're the dominant. The NFL is the dominant television product out there, right? So Of the top 100 rated shows in 2021, 91 of them were NFL games. Of the top 50, 48 were NFL games. So please, Aranj, I know you're not this person, but I'd still like to hear the explanation for the NFL is dying and nobody's watching anymore and I'm tuning out. Well, apparently if you're tuning out, two other people are tuning in once you leave.
There is a 10% increase from last year overall. I think like ESPN and Fox both had a 16% increase in viewership. Some of it is, you know, you're right, the election cycle is over, but also
I think people underestimate how big a deal that is.
Because no, it is a huge deal, especially now.
Games, like the afternoon games on Sundays were still fine. It was the primetime games that were getting beat
right.
up.
Right. Yeah, and Monday Night Football did a whole lot better.
Right.
Manning's cast had something to do with it, too, I think.
Love
but
that.
It is fun. It's a lot to do with the pandemic, and it wasn't really fun to watch sports with no crowd. I think
that
it makes
was a
huge
bit
difference.
Of it, but
there was a study that was done. It was about a year ago, I think, and the people who responded to the study said they were less likely, and I think it was like 33-34%, somewhere in that range, of people responded that they watch less sports, and the of that percentage, a third of them said it was because they couldn't watch with other people, because people were quarantining.
You take the social like, element out of it.
Yeah, sports is a huge social thing, and for a lot of people, they couldn't do it. But yeah, it's popular. It's always going to be the most popular thing that everybody watches, even if it's the numbers are down because audiences are fragmented.
Yeah. You know, and this is the other thing. People misunderstand this, too. I could talk ratings on football and baseball and all that all night long, because people always crap on baseball ratings. But yeah, they're not good nationally. It's because everybody watches their own team every day.
Right.
Right. You're not
regionally
watching the national game. You're watching your own team. And that's what jacks into the numbers for the national games. All right, Ron, hang tight. We're going to change gears. I want you to think about this. It might be hard because you got a lot of goofy-ass sports takes, and I know so do I. The goofiest sports take that you actually believe. We'll hit that next on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.